Get started. Okay, good evening, everybody. It is Erev Sukkot in 24 hours from now, Bezrat Hashem. The weather is going to be great, and we are going to sit in our Sukkos this year. But one thing is going to be missing, Erwin, from all of our Sukkos this year, and that is going to be guests. One thing that we are going to be missing is the guests in our Sukkos, which is something that, just speaking to so many people, it is the number one most difficult part about Sukkos this year. It's not the length of davening. It's not the restrictions. And the hardest part is not being able to open up our Sukkos, really open up our hearts and our souls and our kitchens to making plenty of food for people and to have our Sukkos full of people, which is something really that people take tremendous and great pride in a very real way. And it's going to be hard. That's going to be hard this year. It's going to be difficult. We're doing it for the right reasons, but it's hard. But I have to tell you that there are guests that we happen to have every single year in our Sukkah. Erwin, you're going to say it tomorrow at your table. You're going to say it tomorrow at your table. We welcome the Ushpizin. Myrna, we welcome the Ushpizin to our table. No, we have guests.
No, we do. I actually did. I figured out that I could have six people in the Sukkah. I laid it out. And
okay. It's got to be safe. Got to maybe take a wall down.
We have to talk about it.
Yeah. You know, but it's going to be hard. Usually we have more. Yeah. We have more. It's not, you know. And but we have guests every single night in the Sukkah. We invite Ushpizin Ilotin, holy, holy guests to our Sukkah, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, and David. The Ushpizin Ilotin. Even the Belzer Rebbe says that the wives came too. Avraham didn't just go out on his own. He brought his wife Sarah on a date, you know, and they came to the Sukkah. They're going to come. Double date, Myrna and Barry with Avraham and Sarah tomorrow night. It's going to be wonderful. If you're talking to them too much, I'm going to get a little nervous. But the truth is, if you think about who's on our invite list, there's always one person that we invite to all of these things. There's always one person to every bris milah and to every seder, that if you thought like we should make a list, compile a list of who we're going to invite to our sukkah, you would think that he should come to this sukkah too. And that is, no, who? Eliyahu Hanavi. No, he comes to every single bris. Hine Eliyahu Malacha bris. We open up the door for him. We welcome him into our sedarim. Maybe this year he didn't come, you know, couldn't wear a mask if he's drinking the cup. I don't know. But Eliyahu is not invited to the Sukkah. He's not one of the seven Ushpizin. Why not? Did he do anything wrong? Like what why not? So I'm gonna share with you a really beautiful, sharp insight of Rabbi Ben Zion Fier. Such a sharp insight. He says a following. He's a Rav in Eretz Israel. He says, what does Eliyahu represent? Eliyahu Hanavi represents the Geula, the redemption. He represents heralding in a new chapter in Jewish history, the final chapter in Jewish history, the Messianic times, the Geula Shlema. And Rafir says, if you look at what Sukkot is really all about, Sukkot is the exact opposite. Sukkot doesn't represent the end. Sukkah represents the journey. Sukkah is all about the journey, right? Whether the sukkos mean the clouds of glory, or sukkos refers to the huts that we were placed in the time that we sojourned in the desert, either way you say it, what is sukkos all about? It's about the road that we travel together. It's not about the journey, right? So, And that's why Eliyahu Hanavi, Rabbi Fier suggests, is not invited to this party. All of these individuals, Avraham, through Moshe and Aaron and David, they never experience complete shlemus in their life. There's always something missing from their lives. There's always something lacking from them. The greatest example is Moshe Rabbeinu. He did so much, achieved so much, accomplished a tremendous amount, yet Moshe Rabbeinu never made it into the promised land. David HaMelech, an amazing warrior, an unbelievable king, sensitive leader, the one thing that he wanted, he couldn't get, and that was to build the Beis HaMikdash. He couldn't get it. Each one of those individuals represented by the Ushpizin had a journey in their life that was cut short at a certain point. They fulfilled their tafkid in life. They fulfilled their mission in life. That's not our question. But their lives are indicative of what we're celebrating in the sukkah. What we celebrate in the sukkah are the journeys, not the destination. And this leads us to a brilliant insight from Rav Kook. Rav Kook, and another thing that we're not going to have of this year, and that is a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. A Simchas Beis HaShoeva are these huge gatherings, huge parties that people have in their sukkahs. Where do they really come from? Where do they emanate from? What's the source of a Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Part of the service in the Beis HaMikdash by the Mizbachot was called Nisa Chamayim. They would bring water libations onto the Mizbeach. And this was a tremendous moment of joy for the Jewish people to experience this. Kol Misha Lo Ra'a Simcha Beis HaShoeva Miyamav. Lo Ra'a Simcha Miyamav. If you didn't experience the Simchas Beis HaShoeva in your day, you didn't experience true Simcha in your day, right? But what's the celebration of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? It's not the pouring of the water. Listen to the words themselves. Simchat, right, the joy, of Beit HaShoeva, of the house of the Shoeva. What are we celebrating? The drawing of the water. Not the completion of the process of pouring the water actually onto the Mizbeach, but it's the drawing of the water itself that we are celebrating. And that within itself, I think, is a very empowering, maybe sobering in some ways, but an empowering message for us today. We are in the middle of a journey. We are right in the middle of a journey. We're not at the end. We don't know when that end is going to be. We really don't know. We're clueless as to the end, right? But what do we know? We're in the middle of the journey. And Sukkot is about celebrating and embracing the middle, embracing the vulnerability of being in the middle of the journey. We don't know when it's going to end. We don't know what else is going to come. When you take a drive and you go on that long Chol HaMoed trip, you know, you run the risk. You can run out of gas. You know, the kids are going to have to stop every 4 minutes to use the restrooms. You may hit a nail in your tire and you may get stuck on the side. That's what happens on journeys. Journeys have unknowns in them. Sukkot recognizes that and says when we expose ourselves to the elements, there is a certain, you know, reliance on a higher power. A certain reliance on Hashem that we are doing. When we go outside into our sukkos, we are saying, Hashem, there are four walls that are covering me. There's no roof over my head. There's no air conditioning or heating that's going to protect me at this moment. What do I have? I have you, Hashem. I have Hashem, and that's all I have, who's guiding me, who's holding our hand, and taking us on this journey step by step. And some people explain, Rav Adin Steinsaltz, who passed away a few weeks ago, Rav Adin Steinsaltz that sat on a phone call that I was on with him a few years ago, shared the following beautiful thought. I think it comes from the Arizal. He said that really a sukkah could be, right, how many walls? And again, people are doing this year to enable guests. It's really, it could be two walls and a little bit, right? And he said, the Arizal writes, that's like a hug. A hug, you cover maybe on one side and maybe a little bit on each other side. And he said that's really what a sukkah is. A sukkah is a hug from Hashem. It's an embrace from Hashem. And even during this extremely vulnerable time where we've already been exposing ourselves, maybe not physically, we've been very careful, but we are, you know, open and vulnerable to a lot of anxieties and stresses and pressures and that we are all feeling. And Sukkot is a time to say, you know what? Hashem, I'm leaving it in your hands. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to build my walls. I'm going to put my schach on it. It may fly off in the middle of the night, but I am doing my best. That's a sho'eva. That's a sukkah. And that's what we are all celebrating, Be'ezrat Hashem, together. So with that, I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos. It's still a Shabbos, and enjoy Shabbos this week. And it is Yontif of Sukkah, Zman Simchasenu. And sometimes when we embrace that vulnerability in life, we can truly express and feel the joy of letting go and opening ourselves up to Hashem. So with that, I wish everybody a tremendous Shabbos. It should be a good Shabbos. It should be a healthy Shabbos, safe Shabbos. And it should be a great Yontif, a unique Yontif, a different Yontif. We're going to miss everybody. For all those that we will not see in Shul, we're trying our best. It's going to be different, weird, strange. But just like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're inspiring and moving and motivating for those that came and those that didn't. I'm sure it was in their own homes. We're going to do our best in this next holiday. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom.